You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, as we've heard in the news, there's a whole lot of camping going on in Wisconsin this year. We'll ask you to share your thoughts about camping. Love it? Hate it? We want to know.
First, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is one of the most controversial trade deals we've seen in the last few years. It also happens to be one of the few things the presidential candidates agree on. Both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have said that they have opposed the trade deal that was negotiated by the Obama administration.
Clinton initially supported the deal as Secretary of State, but voiced her opposition last year and has argued against it on the campaign trail. Trump has been opposing the TPP since before he announced his candidacy. Here's a clip of him talking about the deal at the second presidential debate.
You called it the gold standard of trade deals. You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
And then you heard what I said about it, and all of a sudden you were against it.
And here was Clinton's response.
The facts are, I did say I hoped it would be a good deal, but when it was negotiated, which I was not responsible for, I concluded it wasn't.
Well, both candidates are criticizing the deal, sometimes speaking at the same time. There are some dairy farmers in Wisconsin who see it as something that could be good for them and for the economy.
Here to tell us why some in the dairy industry may support the TPP is Mike North. He's the president of Commodity Risk Management Group, which provides consulting and brokerage services for people in the agricultural industry. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be with you, Kate.
Dairy farmers are seeing the TPP as this helpful trade deal, while, as we just heard, the two major party candidates see it as harmful. So what are these candidates not taking into account on the TPP's agricultural impact?
Well, the United States agricultural industry as a whole has, over the years, always competed in a space whereby cheap food was the directive. And so over time, we've always had to work on very thin margins. We've had to employ a lot of technology. We've had to become better at every turn. And the dairy industry is certainly no stranger to making those same changes. And so as we talk about where the industry has come from, we've seen a lot of growth. We've seen a lot of reduction in costs when we talk milk on a per hundredweight basis. And so what that's allowed us to do is become a lot more competitive in the world space. And as the economies around the world have grown, the middle class has grown with it. Spending in the middle class has doubled in the last 13 years. And that's essentially been directed into two places, and that's first to the diet, which protein makes up the biggest demand piece of that, and then also to energy. And so as agriculture looks at this, it's a golden opportunity as more people around the world have more money to spend and are demanding more protein in their diet. And specifically to dairy, there is a real opportunity here, because dairy protein is among the most portable protein in the world. It doesn't require the refrigeration that, say, fresh meats would. You can move it without a lot of water, and it just makes a lot of sense to move dairy protein into those places. The United States has really put themselves over the last 10 years into a competitive advantage, and ultimately the TPP opens some doors with existing trade partners that already account for more than 50% of our export volume on an annual basis.
And ballpark for us the money at stake here, the profit at stake. How much would dairy exports rise with the TPP in place?
Well, if you go back in time and you look at on a dollar valuation basis what the growth has been in the last 15 years, we've essentially taken in the last 15 years exports from about $1 billion figure to, at our peak in 2014, just north of $7 billion. We've seen some retraction over the last couple of years as both economies have softened and the U.S. dollar has gained strength against currencies around the world. But we're even after all of that, still right around $5 billion. So it's grown fivefold on a dollar basis over the last 15 years. as we go forward, by opening some doors in this region, removing some of the tariffs and the quotas that are in place, we could easily expand that by another 20%. So what was 5 today could go back to 6. What was 7 in 2014 could easily go north of $8.5 to $9 billion. And as you look at that, there's a lot of additional jobs created in the process back home as those exports increase. And so it has a lot of very good impacts back here as we're making those trades with other countries.
And Mike, what countries would be really key for the dairy industry to get access to through this trade deal? What countries would it zero in on here?
So the whole Southeast Asia market has been very, very good for us in terms of growth. We've seen a lot of increased growth with Vietnam and Japan, and we hope to continue that. Obviously, China is the one that everybody likes to talk about in that Asian market, but the bottom line is a lot of these countries that don't make the headlines, but have, you know, like we've seen in the last several years, some growth in their crude oil production, have some additional revenues, and are really trying to grow their marketplace. So, you know, some of the countries like Vietnam would be a prime example of that.
We're talking with Mike North, who is president of Commodity Risk Management Group, which provides consulting and brokerage services for people in the agricultural industry. Mike, critics of the TPP say the trade deal puts American workers in competition with lower wage ones in other countries. Do you see that as a potential drawback, a potential downside for the dairy industry?
Well, there's been a lot of criticism that's popped up as a kind of a backdraft off of NAFTA. And the reality is when we first entered into that negotiation, you know, everybody recognized the need to trade with our neighbors. That obviously has expanded. The map has gone broader. Our neighbors now are global. And bottom line is trade is very important to agriculture and to industry, period. We need to continue to trade because it's a great way to bring foreign dollars back into the United States. But I think if we learned anything through NAFTA, we learned that there's a cost to it. And we have to calculate those costs as we enter these deals. And I think where we've fallen short in some of the others has been that we've overlooked that. And in many cases, we've, you know, sacrificed the jobs that you hear about. But I think as we go to the table and we participate in these, we need to make sure as the rules are written that that's not the case going forward, that we get a fair shake, that we're not the one that gets trampled over while we open the doors for everybody else to now do business with us.
And then for a moment, walking in your shoes, how do you see yourself advising dairy farmers differently if the TPP were in place versus it not being in place?
Well, the one thing that a more global market does is it does make things a bit more volatile. And so while it does bring opportunity to the table, when economic downturns take place elsewhere in the world, it has a ripple effect right back to the markets at home. And so obviously, as we go forward in time, we need to be much more hawkish about markets as they present opportunities. You know, a prime example of that was this summer when milk prices made a nice move higher, but quickly gave that away within a matter of about 4 to 5 weeks. And so, you know, as we would walk forward in that, we would help guys manage those decisions as opportunities arise with a little bit more of a aggressive nature. I mean, the reality is over time, as I grew up, we were very dependent on our ability to produce. You know, I talked a bit about production efficiencies and our ability to drive down costs. We become least cost producers. We've done a great job at maximizing yields and milk production. And so we've depended on that heavily. But as we go forward and enter into a market where more global participation takes place and that greater volatility exists, you need to equally become invested in the marketing of your product and take that a lot more seriously. And so we would work hand in hand with farmers to help them manage those risks in the marketplace so that they're not, you know, wide open and fully susceptible to the change.
And Mike, really quickly here, with a few moments, what would happen to the dairy industry if this trade deal is not passed? You know, we're in a lame duck session. The chances that the TPP being passed don't seem, you know, highly likely. What happens to dairy?
Well, in 2014, when we overhauled the Farm Bill, we got rid of the dairy price support program. And ultimately what that did is it forced our manufacturers, our processors of dairy products to become a lot more innovative, to work directly towards meeting the client's needs, wherever that client may be. And so what that's allowed us to do is become a lot more adept at serving other marketplaces. So we'll continue to grow the export market. The TPP simply opens up some doors for us to move over some existing hurdles and hopefully expedites that process. But that will not change the fact that our processors and our dairymen are gearing towards more relationships around the world. So whether it goes or it doesn't go, it's only a matter of velocity of movement in that direction. It doesn't actually change the movement in that direction. So as it is in a free market, the people that are innovative will move forward and opportunities will still come about.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kate.
That was Mike North. He's the president of the Commodity Risk Management Group and told us why some members of the dairy industry are supporting the Trans-Pacific Partnership.